Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Sara Richetto. I'm a master's student in the Department of Crop Sciences at the University of Illinois. And today I'm going to present some results of my thesis research that is titled A Spatiotemporal Assessment of County-Level Agronomic and Environmental Indicators for Maize Production in the U.S. Midwest. So world population is continuously increasing. There are several projections that say that food demand will increase and we need to increase crop production. As you can see, to achieve this, crop growth rates will need to increase as well. As we can see here, these rates are not increasing very much. So there is a critical need to increase crop production. The United States is the largest producer of corn in the world. Most of the production occurs in the U.S. Corn Belt in the Midwest, where 85% of the production takes place. And the states of Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa produce 40% of U.S. corn. Now, if we think that we need to increase agricultural production, we need to take into consideration several challenges that agriculture is facing in the present, and I'm going to mention some of them. So the pollution of water bodies due to nutrient losses is one of them, nitrogen and phosphorus. Greenhouse gas emissions that are related to nitrogen inputs, to high nitrogen inputs. The need to increase resources use efficiencies, as we need to increase production, the competition for resources will increase. This is, for example, for the case of water. And in the case of nitrogen, higher nitrogen use efficiencies would lead to less nitrogen losses. We not only want to obtain high yields, but we want these yields to be stable in time, so this is something to consider. And finally, closing yield gaps and reducing yield heterogeneity is another challenge to take into account. So what is sustainable intensification? We hear a lot about this. There are several definitions. One of them is that it's the process of increasing agricultural outputs without the need to convert non-agricultural lands and without having detrimental effects on the environment. So, given the importance of the U.S. Midwest as the region where we produce most of the corn, and the need to increase crop production in a sustainable way, we found quite surprising that there were very few studies that were addressing this issues, these goals of increasing production in a sustainable way, and how these goals are related. So the hypothesis of this study is that more efficient and environmentally sustainable crop production can be achieved in the U.S. Midwest by increasing, by closing yield gaps, increasing yield stability, increasing resources use efficiency at water productivity and nitrogen partial productivity, and minimizing nutrient losses that lead to the pollution of water bodies. So the objectives of this study were four. The first one was to benchmark the sustainability of corn production using agronomic and environmental indicators. The second one was to assess the temporal and spatial variability to see how were these trends in space and time. A third one was to assess the effect of some environmental factors on minimum yield potential and yield gaps. And our last objective was to identify regions where these desirable outcomes are occurring, or regions where sustainability is at risk. So to do this study, we used publicly available data. We calculated a total of six variables that were calculated at the county level for the states of Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa for a time period of 1995 to 2012. We included agronomic variables that were yield gaps, water productivity, and nitrogen partial productivity, yield stability variables that we included minimum yield potential and coefficient of variation of the yield, and environmental variables that we included nitrogen surplus. So we used counties where we had 10 or more years of data, so in total we used 268 counties. Very briefly, I'm going to show how all of the variables that we calculated and how we calculated, and here you have, you can see the source that I used. So yield gaps are defined as the difference between maximum yields and the average yields. We calculated this as a percentage in relation to the maximum yield. Water productivity, we define it as the kilograms of corn that we obtain per millimeter of water supply, and for water supply we considered precipitation, the sum of precipitation and available water in the root zone for the corn area. Nitrogen partial productivity is the kilograms of corn that we obtain per kilogram of nitrogen applied, counting organic and inorganic sources. Minimum yield potential is defined as the minimum yield that we can obtain under the most unfavorable conditions. And to do this, we use a linear mix effect model to see how county yields responded to increases in environmental indexes. The coefficient of variation is a complement to minimum yield potential to see how these variables changed in time, and was calculated as the standard deviation of the yield over the mean. And finally, a nitrogen surplus. We did a nitrogen balance where we summed organic and inorganic sources, and we subtracted the nitrogen that is removed by the crop in the harvest. So going to the results, I'm going to show the results for our first two objectives that were to benchmark these variables and to see how they changed in space and time. So this map, what it's showing are the average values for these variables for the period 1995-2012. These are the ranges, statewide ranges that we saw. And we have percent gaps, water productivity, nitrogen surplus, nitrogen partial productivity, minimum yield potential, and coefficient of variation. Something that I'm going to show in this map is that, for example, the red colors are associated with negative things, and green colors are associated with positive outcomes. What we can see here is that percent gaps, we obtain the higher values of percent gaps in the southern regions of the three states. In water productivity, we obtain the lower values of water productivity in the southern regions of the three states. For nitrogen surplus, again, the higher values in the southern regions of the three states. We see some high values in northern Indiana and northeast Illinois. For N partial productivity, the lower values, we observe them in the southern regions of the three states. And for minimum yield potential, we see very high values of minimum yield potential in northern Iowa, and the lower values in southern Illinois and Indiana. And if we see CV, it has a similar trend with low values of CV in northern Iowa and high values of CV in the southern regions of these three states. So these are the changes in time of the variables. So what we did, these maps show the percentage of change from period 1995-1999, a five-year period, compared to the period of 2008-2012. These are the distributions of the data for the two periods. So in pink, we have the first period, and in green, we have the second period. What we can see is that in general, the values have increased in time for most of the variables, except for nitrogen partial productivity. And looking at general trends, what we can see is that Western Iowa has experienced an improvement of most of agronomic and environmental indicators, while Southern Iowa has suffered a detriment a detriment of environmental and agronomic indicators. So going to our third objective, that was to assess the effect of environmental factors on yield gaps and minimum yield potential. The methodology that we use here was the geographically weighted regression. So this methodology, what it allows, allows the coefficients of the parameters of the regression equations to change with the space. They're different for different locations. So what we evaluated the effect of available water in the root zone, the standard deviation of available water in the root zone, organic carbon in the first 30 centimeters, and the standard deviation of this organic carbon, and the precipitation in the critical period of the crop that we defined from 80 days to 120 days after emergence. and we evaluated the effect of these variables on yield gaps and minimum yield potential. Now, because of a matter of time, I'm going to show the results for yield gaps. And these maps, what they show are the coefficients of each variable and how they have changed. They change in space. So in the case of soil organic carbon, what we can see that it has a negative effect. The coefficients are negative. And the effect is stronger in Iowa and southern Illinois. And the effect decreases towards the northeast. In the case of the standard deviation of organic carbon, it is not significant for a wide area of our study area. The effect of available water in the root zone and the standard deviation of available water in the root zone is positive, and it has a similar trend. It is stronger, this effect is stronger towards the east. And finally, precipitation in the critical period of the crop has a positive effect, and this effect is stronger in Iowa and southern Illinois and decreases towards the northeast. Here, what we see is the R-square of the model. What we can see is that we got very good values of R-square that range from 0.43 to 0.88, and the best fit of this model, we can see it in Indiana and southern Illinois. And now going to our fourth objective, that was to identify where these desirable outcomes are occurring or where sustainability is at risk. So we took our six variables, yield gaps, water productivity, nitrogen surplus, nitrogen partial productivity, coefficient variation, and minimal yield potential. And we defined two categories. So we defined cold spots and hot spots. So the hot spots are those regions where we can find all of these desirable attributes, or at least four of the desirable attributes. And the cold spots are those regions where we can find the six or at least four of undesirable attributes. So in this map, we have in the left we have the cold spots, in the right we have the hot spots. We did this using different percentiles, 20, 30, and 40, to be a little bit more flexible. And here the criteria is the number of attributes that we can find within that percentile. We see something very similar to what we saw in the first map that I showed. So the cold spots are located in the southern regions of the three states, while the hotspots, we can find them in northern Iowa, and northwest Illinois, and central Illinois, and north Indiana. So some conclusions of this study. So here we, using publicly available data, we calculated and mapped key environmental and agronomic indicators to see how they have changed in space and time. And having this integrated framework allow us to quantify our baseline conditions, and having this, we can therefore identify regions for improvement. The large spatial variability that we saw here suggests that there are opportunities for improvement in some areas at the regional scale. Another thing that we saw is that these local spatial analyses are efficient to show how environmental drivers affect different production contexts. And what we can see in the trends over time, in the temporal analysis, is that there are some regions that are doing good, that we saw the hotspots, and the trend is to do better. But there are some regions where we have cold spots, what I said, or poor spots that are getting worse in time. So there is some room for improvement in these regions. So with this, I would like to thank Peter Colau, some people in the University of Illinois, to the University of Illinois and to the Department of Crop Sciences. And so if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
I wasn't sure how to interpret when you were addressing the effects on the yield gap, and you said that soil organic carbon had a negative effect, I think.
Yeah.
So is that a good thing, meaning the yield gap is smaller or soil organic carbon is higher?
It would be a good thing, because we are aiming to have small yield gaps. So having high organic carbon in the soil, what it says here, or the coefficient is negative, meaning that those yield gaps are smaller.
Okay.